Almost 70,000 Kiwis are living with dementia today. Almost 170,000 Kiwis are likely to be living with dementia by 2050, according to Alzheimer's NZ. But research by the head of audiology at Auckland University suggests the use of hearing aids can be an effective early intervention against dementia. The research also highlights the need for a culturally responsive and rights-based approach and greater understanding of the importance of hearing healthcare for Māori. To tell us more, we are joined by Professor Grant Searchfield. Kia ora, Grant. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Kia ora. Yeah,
firstly,
kia ora. How are you tonight?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
Great.
Could you start by telling us about the research and your trials, please?
Yeah, well, our research was really prompted by international work that shows that 8% of dementia cases could be prevented with early intervention for hearing. And to place that in context, the majority of risk for dementia is genetic. It's something we can't modify, but about 40% can be. And we often think about things such as obesity, smoking, we know we need to be active, and so on. But actually, hearing has been shown to be the number one modifiable factor internationally. In New Zealand, looks that way for Asian and Pacific communities. And amongst Maori and Pacifica, it's number two after obesity as risk factors for dementia. So the story goes, if we intervene for hearing, would we be able to reduce the risk for dementia? And what my research was to use hearing aids and see whether cognitive function tests of memory and speed of processing would in fact change at all after use of hearing aids. And what we found is after 12 months of using hearing aids, our cognition was indeed improved in this group of over 65. So there's accumulating evidence that if we intervene early with hearing aids, then a significant portion of the population who otherwise would have gone on to develop dementia might not.
How fascinating. Were these results that you were expecting, Grant?
Well, to an extent, we were expecting that hearing aids would help. We actually compared two types of hearing aid processing. We had hypothesized that a simpler type of processing would be most useful because evidence from laboratory studies had shown that people with a little bit of slower cognition were able to make use of the simpler processing. But actually what we found was that the more complex processing resulted in the larger effects. And we think that that's because of basically a use it or lose it approach, where if the brain is stimulated by a lot of information, it will continue to essentially put effort in to extracting information and processing things. And if it's not busy enough, it simply slows down.
So with the help of hearing through the use of hearing aids, this can stave off further cognitive decline?
Yeah, not for everyone. You know, it's saying that there a reasonable proportion of people risk for developing cognitive decline and dementia because of hearing loss. And if we actually intervene early and we reduce the effect of hearing loss, then also, as well as helping the hearing, the risk of dementia should also decline. And the hearing aids showed that over this period of 6 to 12 months, the people's cognitive performance improved. So they had better memory, they were able to process complex scenarios quicker, and so on. And this really fits with the majority of international research that has highlighted hearing as a really important factor for healthy aging.
So how do people go about being tested? What's that process looking like at the moment?
Yeah, so for most people, we obviously are concerned that as we get older, some of our memories become less robust. We will have difficulty remembering some things, our processing will be slower. And so part of this is a natural part of aging. But for some people, that decline is much quicker. And so the testing of that is something that can be undertaken in a number of places. And certainly, first people to contact about any concerns about cognition are your general practitioners, your family, doctors. In the case of audiology, we are only really beginning to think about the importance of cognition as part of our scope of practice, because only relatively recently this link between hearing and dementia has really been shown. So we're slowly developing this in practice, and audiologists are making greater strides in use of cognitive tests. But also, you know, the first thing to really do is to get the hearing test to see whether there is a hearing loss there, consider how much of an effect it is having on you and the individuals and your loved ones. And if it's beginning to have an effect and you are struggling, there are a couple of things to think about. Is it impacting on your ability to lead a normal life? Are you withdrawing socially in any way? Because if you are, the risk is that not only you'll have the struggles with hearing, but the longer term impacts may also be broader and have an effect on socialization and the engagement that's really important for wider healthy living and staving off cognitive deficits. It is important to remember, however, that not all cases of dementia are associated with hearing, but it is the number one modifiable cause that we know about.
What do we know about numbers of people in New Zealand right now who need hearing aids but can't access them?
Well, that's a really difficult question. We do know the number of people are getting hearing aids, but the statistics on those people that have a hearing loss and who require hearing aids is much less certain. We do know that in surveys and interviews with people regarding their hearing loss, that cost is a significant barrier. There are other situations, for example, accessing clinicians, the rural-urban divide, and also differences in different ethnic groups accessing the different facilities. But we know that, you know, the use of hearing aids makes such a big difference to people's lives, but the cost is a key barrier at the moment.
What kind of investment would be required to correct these inequities of accessing hearing health?
Yeah, I don't know the exact numbers, to be honest, Susanna, but we do know that investment early on should reap rewards of longer-term benefits. So the cost of dementia over many years is much higher than the cost of early intervention with hearing aids. So what we're encouraging is people to think about the idea that if you act earlier, then the longer-term benefits are going to be much greater. And you're not only helping your hearing, you're going to be able to engage in the workplace longer, you're going to be able to live a very fulfilling life socially, economically, engaging society, so on. But you've also got this cognitive benefit at the end of it as well. So we strongly encourage people to think about this, and also for funding agencies to ensure that those individuals who have the most need can gain access to the hearing aid services.
And when you talk about funding agencies, who are you referring to?
Well, through there's a number of different agencies that provide support for hearing aids in New Zealand. We have ACC for primarily individuals who have hearing loss through industrial noise exposure or accident blasts. We have the Ministry of Health, which provides a subsidy to most individuals that are seeking hearing aids. Then we have hunters such as Veterans Affairs. One of the complex things in New Zealand, unlike some countries, is there are these multiple funding agencies for different aspects of hearing loss, and each provide different levels of funding. So it's not easy for a layperson to navigate their way around through who they should see, how they should get funding, and what they're actually eligible for. So, some streamlining in the process would be invaluable, and clarity for individuals when they're seeking funding, the funding that they're eligible for, that they are able to access that, and that the degree of funding that is actually offered is increased across the board.
Sounds so complicated. So,
Yeah, it's and some of this is historic. Things have developed over time, and as funding in different bodies have changed, inequities and differences between these bodies have changed. So if you're a veteran, you have one set of funding parameters. If you're a person that you've had noise exposure, you have others. If you're the same age as someone that has noise exposure, you may have another set of funding to go through. So it's quite complicated for individuals to navigate their way through.
speaking of funding, could we go back a wee bit and just talk about the research that you've done? How was that funded?
Yeah, so this was funding provided by the Health Research Council of New Zealand for hearing health delivery. So it was an application that we placed with this hypothesis that if we could demonstrate that hearing aids were beneficial, then the benefits to the New Zealand health system would be quite tremendous. And so our research has fulfilled the first part of that. It's demonstrated that hearing aids do provide the benefit that we had hoped for. What we need to do now is look at what this really means from an economic point of view, because we believe that the intervention early age with hearing aids over the life course of that individual is going to be less cost than investment in dementia care for that individual, should they develop any form of dementia.
Now, given audiology is your area of expertise, Professor, are there other things as a country, as a population, that we need to be aware of regarding our hearing and specifically our hearing health?
Yeah, well, for example, there, talking about the hearing loss and then hearing aids, and hearing aids are a good solution, but they are a bit of an ambulance at the end of the cliff. So we need to be aware of how we can protect our hearing so that, as well as hearing aids, if we combine them, then the likelihood that the number of individuals that are aging well with hearing is going to increase. So we reduce the risk of hearing loss, and then we provide the solutions for those individuals with the hearing loss. So we need to be aware of dangerous noise sources. We're much better than that at that now in the workplace, where we understand risks of working around noisy machinery, loud motors, and so on. But we're less careful recreationally, whether it's when we're working on a car at home, we're mowing the lawns, or listening to music. And it's believed now that recreational noise exposure is taking over. Workplace noise exposure is the greatest risk for developing noise-induced hearing loss. So getting that message across at an early age to children at school, teenagers, around protecting your hearing, understanding what loud noise is, what it is dangerous, and to limit the risks of long-term overuse of music playing devices, making sure people have healthy hearing practice when they go to concerts, when they work at nightclubs. All these sorts of things are going to reduce the incidence of hearing loss. And if we can do that, there's also going to be a byproduct for healthy aging as well.
With so many devices, and we can probably have this as my question to close, but we've got so many devices now in our daily lives and AirPods and all the variations on hearing equipment to help us with our devices. How much use is too much in a day?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of factors there. noise-induced hearing loss is down to both the level of sound and the length of use. So if we look at playing music over smartphones now, we know that the battery life of a smartphone, is quite long compared to when we used to listen to cassettes on a Walkman or even a compact disc player. The battery would run out, and or the tape would come to an end, the compact disc would end. So part of the issue there is around the length of time. The other thing is about the level. And when people are listening to loud music in an environment that's already loud, people will tend to turn that sound up to overcome the fact that there's background sound there. So we need to be aware of where we're listening to music and what we're doing with music players. So when we are, and music is great, listening to music, I don't want to in any way infer that listening to music is something that we shouldn't be doing, but we need to give our ears regular breaks. And so someone listening to music, working in a nightclub venue, perhaps a musician that's providing music teaching as well as performing, there needs to be breaks. And so after a performance, several hours without any music, maybe even a day, depending on the dose that people receive. And the dose that people receive will depend on the nature of the sound, the level of the sound, as well as that duration. So it is a relatively complex scenario, but one rule of thumb is that if you're talking to someone a meter away and they can't hear you because they've got music on loud in their ears, that's loud enough. They shouldn't have it at that level. And that's a good warning sign for adults. If you're talking to teenagers and they're a meter away and they can't hear you because of the music, it's too loud.
And there you have it. Thanks so much for your time tonight, Grant. Really appreciate this detail.
Great, Susanna. Thanks for having me on.
All the best.